When you study perception in school, one of the ways that you will learn about how perception works is the idea of figure and ground, ground being like background. All right? And the way we all manage to survive in this world, because we are bombarded with external stimuli, on all levels, things that our eyes see, our ears hear, what we smell, what we feel, what we experience, we're just bombarded with them. And what we learn very early on is to screen out what is irrelevant. And what is irrelevant becomes the ground, the background, and we focus on the figure. All right, so a very easy example that we could all relate to, as I'm standing here talking to you, the background is the room and what's hanging on the wall and the colors and the temperature, et cetera, and what the figures are each of you, because that's what I'm focusing on. Right? If, however, I'm an interior decorator, all right, then I don't really care about the people here. I care about the room, how the lighting is, how the sound works, how things look. Well, we'll enhance things here, and my focus is on that. All right, so whatever we focus on becomes the figure. Whatever we don't focus on becomes the background. All right, so again, what we have made the background, all right, what we feel, what we've judged as being not really important, is the basic message of the Course. What we've judged to be important is our specialness. Right? And so, as I've been saying throughout the week, one of the inherent dangers as one works with this Course is if we're not aware of our secret wish to be special and then blame other people for it, not make ourselves responsible, we will not realize that we will read this Course and study this Course and practice this Course through the lens of our specialness, which means that the real message of this Course will recede in the background, despite how we protest otherwise. And our specialness, which is our ego's message, that comes to the forefront. Right? To say it another way, to make it even more to the point, what the focus of this Course is the mind. And yet what we do is we put all the things in the Course about mind in the background and we focus only on the body. So we'll read this Course through the perception of the body or through the lens of the body. And then we'll think Jesus is talking about a body. Well, what he's really talking about is that it's the mind that should be in the forefront, should be the figure, and the body should be the background. The body then becomes the classroom in which we learn the lessons of the mind. So when we talk about the shift from mindlessness to mindfulness, that's another way of realizing what this poem is expressing. That we make what was trivial before, which was the mind, now enlarges in magnitude. And now I realize everything has to do with the mind. Indeed, I am a mind. And everything I perceive seemingly outside of me is a projection of what is in my mind. So the world I live in becomes the background, becomes the classroom in which I learn the lessons of the teacher who's now in the foreground. So my specialness needs now, what had seemed large before, resumes the littleness that is its due. Specialness, rather than being my goal, now becomes the means to my attaining Jesus' goal. What he says in the section called the special function is that what we made to hurt, the special relationship, becomes the means to heal. When we ask the Holy Spirit to help us look at our special relationship differently, what we made to hurt now becomes the instrument of healing. So beforehand, the special relationship was front and center. That was the be-all and end-all of my life. To be with the people I think I love and to exclude and hate the people I don't love. Then all of a sudden, when I hear the word, and I change teachers, I realize that the same special relationship is not front and center. It's now simply the background in which I learn the lesson which is front and center, which is that you and I, the special love or hate partner and I, are one. We share the same interests. We're not different. So to say there's still another way. All right? What had seemed large before, which was the perception of differences, you and I are different. And the core difference that drives our lives is that I seek to prove that you are sinful and I am sinless. That's the crucial difference. You are sinful, I am sinless. That's what's been front and center. the idea that you and I are different, and I will do everything possible to establish as reality that you and I are different. I'll pick a fight with you. I'll become dependent on you. You have something that I need and that I want. I can't stand you. I take my guilt and I put it onto you, thereby establishing you as guilty. I'm guiltless, and therefore we are different. So that has been front and center. While what before was trivial was the notion that we're the same. I mean, if you read the words in the Course, you can't miss the words. They're all over the place. But they become in the background because we don't want to hear them. We don't want to read them. We certainly don't want to integrate them into our lives. So they become trivial and small. So what the ego has done has made our sameness become the background and trivial, and our differences become the foreground and become what's of great magnitude. When this shift occurs, what shifts now is that the concept of differences recedes into the background, which now becomes the classroom in which I learn what is now in the foreground, namely that we are the same. So again, you don't stop relating to bodies, you don't stop having bodily needs, you don't stop having psychological needs, you don't stop doing anything, you just change the purpose. That's yet another way of talking about what the shift in perspective is. Rather than seeing everything as being the purpose of proving I'm right and God is wrong, I exist and everybody else is responsible for it, I now shift to the Holy Spirit's purpose, which now is in the foreground, which again is that we are all alike. As Jesus says right at the end of the text, as part of his glorious final vision in his prayer to God on our behalf, he says, "For we are one in purpose," we being the sonship, "for we are one in purpose and the end of hell is near." That's what brings us to the end of hell. That's what brings us to the gates of heaven, beyond which is formlessness, is realizing we are one in purpose. And so that now becomes, what heretofore had been trivial, now becomes of great magnitude. All right, so again, that's what this is saying here. The trivial enlarge in magnitude, while what seemed large resumes the littleness that is its due. The dim grow bright. We kept our sameness dim. We kept the Holy Spirit's word of atonement dim. We kept Jesus' loving, all-inclusive presence dim. And what was bright before, which was our specialness. I was special because I was with Jesus and he was special. I'm special because I'm a Course in Miracles student. I'm special because I'm a special kind of Course in Miracles student. Everything that accentuates differences on any level, that's what had been bright. Now it flickers and fades and finally is gone. That's the journey. It's the journey through form to formlessness. And again, when we stay in form, what will eventually lead us to formlessness is that shift in perspective where we now see our shared interests as being the only thing we want to learn each and every day. And separate interest becomes for us the reflection or the shadow of our choice for the ego. So when I become aware of my separate interests, when I become aware of my judgments and my anger and my specialness, I now know that I'm trying to illuminate that specialness and that concept of differences. And now I realize, but that doesn't make me happy. I don't want that anymore. And so I take the light of my mind, I now give it to Jesus, and I look with him. And now I look at my belief in separate interests and my wish for separate interests, and I can now look at that and say, I don't want this anymore. That's the change.